Rob Calisi, Managing Director of the Hill Group.
Rob, I know you've heard it a bunch of times this evening, but speak right into the mic so everyone can hear, please.
Rob Calisi, Managing Director of the Hill Group, healthcare consultant hired by the City of Warwick.
Rob, before you go on, so you were hired by the City of Warwick to do specifically what?
To take the health and dental plans out through a bidding process, analyze the bids, the overall cost of the program, and make a recommendation to this body.
And is this the first time that you do this for the City of Warwick?
No, we've been at it for 10 plus years.
10 plus years?
Yes.
As the healthcare advisor to the city?
Correct.
And you have made numerous recommendations over those 10 plus years?
Yes.
To the city?
The city has gone out to bid at least 10 or 12 times where I've managed the process and made recommendations to the council and finance committee.
Okay. So bottom line is the city hired you to do all of the research, the legwork, et cetera, and make a recommendation to this body for its consideration based upon your investigation, your research, your fiscal analysis, financial opinions, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay. Continue.
I'm here to answer questions. I know that, you know, there was a recommendation that I had submitted to the council, which I was supportive of WB Community Health, which is a self-funded arrangement with using Blue Cross as an administrator, and would continue, you know, even in light of new information that has come forward, that you have a positive fund balance with WB Community Health. It really doesn't change my opinion of how the city should access healthcare. So we're talking about fundamental differences in buying insurance or being self-insured. And that comes down to the law of large numbers. You've got in excess of 1,000 employees and retirees covered, which is a group that has enough scale to be self-insured. And typically...
Excuse me one minute.
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Typically, you don't look at being self-insured in one-year increments of time. Because at any point in time, an insurance company can come in and take a flyer on you, meaning that they can come in and lowball a price, and then next year they're out of the market, and they can increase the rates on renewal. In this case, the trust has a provision that keeps you in the trust for 36 months. Otherwise, they regain 1 month's worth of premium upon your exit. So, although you could go out to bid next year, you need to also weigh in the fact that you're going to pay about $1.6 million to get out. There's a $1.6 million savings to get in, but a $1.6 million penalty to get out.
Repeat those numbers.
1.6 savings on the way in, and $1.6 million if you get out of the trust within the first 36 months.
And is that penalty, $1.6 million, is that minimum?
The penalty is equivalent to 1 month's premium.
So 1 month's whatever, premium.
That roughly today it's about $1.65 million. So in addition to that consideration, my analysis also looked at the claims that you've incurred but have not yet been paid or will not have yet been paid by June 30th. Those are called runout claims. Because you're self-insured, your contract does not just stop on June 30th. The city has the responsibility to pay claims that may have been incurred at any point in time in this fiscal year, but got paid after June 30th of 2019. That's still funding that has to be appropriated by the city. So you would take those runout claims and add them to the fully insured premium.
And how much are those runout claims?
The runout claims are estimated using an actuarial assumption at about $840,000, I believe, get you the exact number, in excess of $800,000. And initially when WB had submitted their bid, the city was running at a deficit. So you can build a surplus with WB or you can run at a deficit with WB. So the fact that you are running at a deficit led me to assume that not only were you going to have to pay back the deficit, but you also were going to be responsible for the runout claims that were approximately $800,000.
And is that still the situation today?
At this point, it looks like claims have improved.
What do you mean it looks like?
Well,
have they or haven't they?
I don't have any firm reporting from WB, but WB has told me, and I believe has told the council, or at least the administration, that claims have improved and there is a positive fund balance today, I think, of $212,000. However, I would caution the Finance Committee and the council that just like in February you had a negative balance, that doesn't mean on June 30th that $212,000 is still going to be there for you to use to pay runout claims.
And our health care policy renews when?
July 1st.
July 1st.
July 1st.
So the good news or bad news, we don't know until June 30th.
You don't know until June 30th, and you don't really know until about 90 days after that, because claims, we're making an estimate of runout claims, but that's not an exact science.
So that is a wild card.
Correct. And I would say that the city, if you could look at this beyond 12 months at a time, you would realize that self-funding is the most efficient way for the city to buy health insurance. And I think pretty much anyone in my business that knows anything about health insurance knows that a group the size of the city of Warwick belongs self-insured.
And with a group of our size, and I would go so far as to ask or insinuate our claims performance, are there other communities in the state that do something different than self-funded?
Well, I think that the majority of the communities are self-insured. The larger communities are self-insured. Warwick would be the biggest, at least that I know of, the biggest community that would enter into the trust. But most of the communities that, at least the ones that I know of and have worked with, are self-insured, either through WB or through RIMIC, which is another purchasing group that's a self-insured arrangement. It's not to say that the trust doesn't have its place, but the trust really can serve smaller communities much better than a larger community, the way the risk is shared.
So with a fully funded plan, such as the trust, tell us about the risk factor that we're exposed to, because we're in this great big pool with 38 or however many other communities. I know it's not 38. I'm being kind of
several other communities. Number, sure.
In this, tell us what our risk is by jumping in the sandbox with other communities.
So the way the trust model works is that it's a shared. You share in the exposure of all of the communities that are in the health pool. So at the end of the year, the pool performs well. Then everyone shares based on a calculation that the trust has, based on the number of months that you're in the trust. You get an allocation of any surplus. You also get an allocation of any deficit. So if you didn't directly generate your own deficit balance, but the other communities collectively generated a deficit balance, then the surplus that Warwick created could be offset by a deficit balance with other communities. And likewise, if Warwick created its own deficit and other communities created a surplus, Warwick could actually share in other communities' surplus to negate their deficit. So it does work both ways.
And for the past couple of years, how has it worked?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
For the past couple of years, those plans that are in the trust, never mind, I'll let the trust answer their own question. So when you went out for this RFP, did your RFP call for a one-year bid, a 2-year bid, 3-year bid? What did it call for?
We asked for a 1-year bid, and we would look favorably upon a multi-year bid if the rates were guaranteed.
If the rates were guaranteed?
Correct.
So what you are suggesting is you wanted a guarantee on the rates instead of rolling the dice?
Correct.
Okay. And how is it that one of the bidders came in with a 3-year bid and I believe there was no guarantee?
Well, yeah, so the trust arrangement is a 1-year fixed rate, but in order to maintain the contract, it's really a 36-month commitment. Otherwise, you have a penalty to exit early within that 36 months, that liquidation penalty of the 1-month premium.
If we do not renew after the first year with WB, is there any penalty?
No. There's no penalty. Whatever balance you have in your account with WB, whether it's deficit or surplus, if it's surplus, the money is yours. If it's deficit, you've got to pay WB back, but there's no provision that penalizes you if you leave WB after any given amount of time.
Do we have stop loss protection with either of those two providers?
You do. WB has stop loss because you're self-insured with WB. Any claims that are in excess of $250,000, there's insurance protection out there that covers the city. With the trust, you don't necessarily need it because it's a fully insured contract. You don't take any risk.
You don't take any risks regarding your own claims.
Correct.
The city of Warwick claims.
Correct.
But we are in a risk pool.
Right.
Correct? I just want to
make
sure I'm clear.
No, you're right.
Okay. Insurance isn't particularly a very easy thing to understand.
No.
It's actually a very complicated thing to understand. So, you went out for an RFP. You asked for a 1-year contract or multi-year bids with caps. I'm sorry, with no escalation.
Guarantees,
right,
guaranteed, of some kind,
guaranteed,
right.
Guaranteed numbers, year one, year two, year three.
Right.
WB, that is it because they're a 1-year bid. We're
correct.
Done. This is what it is. We're done. With the trust, because they have their, I guess, policies on how they're going to deal with communities as this great big pool of people, they have their own policies that say, for whatever reason, I'm not going to question how they run their companies, that they want to do multi-year, and they have these parameters, these penalties, etc. Did you reach out to the trust and ask them to reconsider that 3-year contract with no guarantees? And ask them to reconsider a contract without penalties.
Yeah, I did reach out to the trust and ask them.
I'm sorry, what was that answer?
I did reach out to the trust and ask them if they would consider removing the liquidation damages of that 1-month premium should the city decide to leave in year two or year three of that 36-month contract, because I felt like if that were the case, then I could recommend the trust. But they were not able to. They contractually, they have a subscription agreement with their members, and they said they couldn't make an exception for one community and not other communities as part of that contract.
Interesting. And the same reply was for the penalties?
That was the penalty conversation.
Okay.
We didn't talk about having they don't have the ability, at least to my knowledge, to offer a rate guarantee for a following year or a rate cap in the following year.
And did you ask them, again, given the fact that you drew up the RFP and there were specific criteria that you had put in there, did you ask them about including a cap on the losses?
I did not ask them about a cap on the losses, no.
Okay. So, tell us again with WB. Let's start with WB first.
Sure.
So, tell us again what will take place at the end of 2020 if we have a good year. So, let me preface that by just saying that when you're in a plan such as WB, it's kind of like what you put in versus what you spend, and whatever's left kind of belongs to you.
Correct.
Right?
That's right.
If you overspend the checking account and you bounce a check, then you got to pay the bill.
Correct.
Correct? And that's what it means to say, or when we say, we're a self-funded plan.
Right.
It says that we are committing to put, or we're committed to put in X dollars and cents into this particular plan, and at the end of the year, if we don't spend all that plan, that money comes back to us, or it's rolled into
future years
planned for the following year.
Right.
On the flip side, if you make the mistake, like it's not unknown, sometimes in government, too, believe it or not, to write a check that you can't cash, and somebody's going to pay it back, right?
Right.
So again, if you write a check you can't cash, you own the consequences.
That's right.
What happens in the trust? So we go to the trust. The city of Warwick has been, and correct me if I'm wrong, fairly successful with our healthcare exposures.
Yes.
Correct?
That's right.
Okay. So if I were a little fish in a big pond, wouldn't I want to swim with the bigger fish to have protection?
Sure.
So I'm not gobbled up by someone else? I'd want to swim with the bigger fish, right?
Right.
So the city of Warwick has been running a fairly well-maintained healthcare.
Correct.
Usage-wise, which is to the kudos of all of the folks in the city of Warwick who come under our healthcare plan. People are doing a little more with preventive medicines, et cetera, doing the things they need to do to be a little bit healthier. So, if we were to go into a self-funded or guaranteed plan, and we're the better-run community, what happens to our better-run plan and our balance, our checkbook balance? What happens to that if, like a couple of our neighboring communities have had some terrible years recently with healthcare? What happens with our plan? How do we get impacted by that?
So if the accounting is done at the community level in the trust and Warwick has a surplus balance, that goes into the pool. That goes into the trust healthcare pool, along with any community that runs at a deficit balance, to net out what the net fund balance would be, positive or negative, and that's what's left to redistribute amongst the communities based on a formula that the trust has in place. So in a year that Warwick performs well, you may be helping communities. In a year that Warwick performs badly, you may be hurting other communities, or you may be helped by other communities that are performing well.
So with a self-funded plan, we are not at risk of, or dependent, or relying on anyone else's performance. We're simply relying on our own performance.
Correct.
So our only risk is ourselves.
That's right.
Now, you spoke earlier and said that with our group of approximately 1,000 members, that there's the potential for $1.6 million savings going in, and if we leave at the end of the second year because we don't like the renewed premium in the second year, we're going to essentially be back charged 1 month's premium, which is
close to the $1.6 million savings up front. It's
so
within $30,000.
Correct. And we will not know that until the plan year is over and we see how did we perform as a community, and I think even more importantly, how did the other communities perform in the same pool that we're in?
Right, because the other communities will impact you in addition to your own performance.
So with that potential for a wash, if we were to go with the trust, in addition to the wash, am I correct in assuming we still have the risk if there are one or two other communities that have a very bad year, are we at a risk of being back charged more?
No,
I
don't think that there's a mechanism that if you pull the trigger at the end of next year, next June, you tell them you're not going to renew. I believe that the most that they're allowed to charge you is that 1 month penalty.
So how do we know? So what we do know is you don't have an accounting until 2 or 3 months after your year end.
Right.
So it'll be somewhere in September or so, end of September, before we get an accounting of how our plan performed.
That's right.
Either company, whether it be WB or with
the trust.
So how are we going to know in a fully funded plan, how are we going to know what our exposure is before we have to approve a new contract with
They will develop a renewal rate.
Say what?
They'll develop renewal rates early on in the year. They won't wait until all of that runout is calculated. They're going to make estimates the same way we made estimates this year, the same way WB was able to provide a bid for renewal in February. The trust will likely be doing the same exact thing, and they'll develop a renewal.
Either company. Okay.
And they're based on estimates of what they've seen in past performance, and they're making projections. My hesitation and concern that I had with when reviewing the trust, each bidder submitted some confidential rate development, how they actually arrived at the numbers they arrived at. And some of that I had to redact from my report because it was confidential. And so the concerns that I have are some of the numbers that are used in the rate development process by the trust, their funding to bring their rate down using various techniques that I'm not 100% certain where that money's actually coming from. And that's my hesitation with making a recommendation beyond the fact that I do feel as though this is a zero-sum game for you guys, because next year you're going to get a rate increase and you're going to go out to bid, and if something looks more attractive, you're going to pay the $1.6 million. And it goes back to my initial comment that the size that the city is, you're best suited for 36-month periods of time. If we look at anything in a vacuum at a month or a year, something may look better. But if you measure this over 24, 36, 48-month periods of time, you're always going to be better from a financial perspective, from a self-funded arrangement versus a fully insured arrangement.
And
insurance companies have to make money.
I get it. That's what we're in business for, right?
Yep.
So, Mr. Calisi, you said that you have been the healthcare advisor to the city for 10 years? Is that what you said? Or
yes.
Is it longer?
On and off for 10 on years, yes.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to ask you to just stay there, but I'm going to ask Chief of Staff if he could come to the mic, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief. So, Chief, just state your name again for the record, please.
William DePasquale, Chief of Staff.
So, Chief, over the years, 10, 15 years, has the City of Warwick used the trust in the past?
Yes, we have.
And with respect to the penalties that Mr. Khaleesi was just discussing with us and describing with us, has the city ever incurred any of those penalties while under contract with the trust?
I believe they have, not in my position as Chief of Staff, but I do recall where I think it was member equity was lost to the tune of about $1.2 million.
Was there any time in the past 10 years that it was more than $1.2 million?
I do not recall that.
Mr. Khaleesi, do you recall that?
To my knowledge, that the last time you exited the trust from healthcare was about $1.2 million in lost member equity. But I'm not aware of anything beyond that.
Okay. So that's the recollection. No one recalls any more than that, or any less. It's somewhere thereabouts. That's what the recollection is. Okay. Okay. At this point in time, I'll just reserve the right to ask Mr. Khaleesi additional questions, but I will ask the members of the committee if you have any questions. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. You had mentioned, do you think it's better to, if we're looking at things over multiple years, because going from year to year, 1 year could have a big effect. If we were rarely healthy 1 year, it could sway it one way. If something happened and it could, if someone was sick, a bunch of people were sick, it would sway it the other way.
Right.
So year to year, looking at multiple years, would it be better off doing that way?
I believe that the council would be well served by having a 3 to 5 year strategy around healthcare and trying to lock in with a vendor that you're comfortable with, that you're getting the right pricing, that's managing the healthcare for you, as in a partnership with someone like WB or the trust or RIMIC, where there's a partnership but it's a lasting relationship. To jump ship every year or bring this thing out to bid every year, I think you're doing a disservice at this point. And the process is causing a lot of confusion amongst the administration, the council, and everybody involved. But I do think for the council or the finance committee to have a 3 to 5 year strategy around healthcare would be prudent.
I agree with that. Now, when we did the RFP, did we request that and we weren't able to get it, or we didn't specify that?
You won't ever necessarily get rates that are locked in for 3 or 4 or 5 years, pretty much never on a fully insured product. What you're looking to ask the providers to supply in a self-funded arrangement are the administrative components of the plan. You have fixed expenses. Your administration, the cost to run the plan, which is what Blue Cross does, pay the claims, turn the lights on, that kind of stuff. Those numbers can be locked in for 3, 4, 5 years. So we can get that number. Stop loss insurance is typically written 1 year at a time. And then claims fluctuate year by year. That's the variable side of the equation here. But I think you need to develop strategy around what levers do you pull in the situation where you're faced with a 4, 5, 7% rate increase. So you as a governing body need to understand what you have at your disposal to manage healthcare. This is not what it used to be. You need to really be looking at this from a claims perspective. The administrative expense on a self-funded plan represents less than 10% of the overall cost. 90% is what people are using in healthcare. That's where you guys need to focus your time.
Okay. And you're using a couple of different words that are in the healthcare field. Can you break down, say, like the stop loss for us? You talked about member equity, stuff like that, please.
Sure. So stop loss insurance is insurance coverage that covers every single member. So each employee plus each dependent that's covered by the health insurance in Warwick has a $250,000 deductible. The city is exposed to the first $250,000 of all medical expenses in a 12-month period for each person. If someone has a catastrophic claim, premature child, $500,000 in the NICU, $250,000 is on the city and $250,000 is reinsured through stop loss insurance. That's what the stop loss does.
And which one has stop loss and which one does not?
Self-insured has stop loss. The member equity is on the trust side. It's a way for you to accumulate a fund balance based on the performance of the health pool and your own performance and number of months that you've accumulated in the trust.
Okay. And are we able to look at the rates? I know they neither the trust or WB can tell us exactly what it's going to be next year, but obviously that's the question in hand. Or do we take the savings up front right now, but then we don't know, it could jump way up next year? Either one of them?
I think it's a good question, because as you sit here and evaluate bids, the numbers are changing. Every week, every month, the numbers with the WB keep getting moved around because you have claims that come in. We know what the fixed expenses are, but the claims change. Every week they get a report of the claims that were paid. So this is a little bit of a moving target, which is why in February you had a deficit balance. But in April, you had a surplus balance. I can't stand here and tell you that on June 30th, you're going to have a deficit or a surplus. It's run laser thin, which is a good thing. It's like some people think getting a tax refund is a good thing. It's not. It means you gave the government a free loan. Same thing goes with WB. If you got a big fund balance, that means they overshot their estimate. You're getting the money back, but they had use of your money. So we want to run it as tight to the budget as you possibly can, which means you're going to have some years that you have a deficit, and you're going to have some years that you have a surplus. You don't want a huge surplus there, because it's money that you could be using to fund other things, and based on tonight, you got a lot of other things to fund.
Yeah, you got any suggestions? What does Cranston use? Do you know?
I'm sorry?
The city of Cranston?
They're self-insured.
They are self-insured.
Self-insured, city and schools, self-insured. North Providence, self-insured. Johnston, self-insured. Cumberland, self-insured. Those are communities I work with.
So if Warwick was in the trust, would we be the biggest
yes.
city?
This, to my knowledge, I don't know everyone that's in the trust, but what I know of, what I believe Warwick is would be the largest.
Okay. And I think we have someone from the trust there. And then are we able to look at the year-to-year changes, you know, increases and decreases overall from both the WB and the trust, so say the last 3 years, just to kind of get a sense of what the percentage has changed in 3 years?
So are you talking specifically for Warwick's performance in the WB, what's happened over the last 3 years?
We have WB now, correct?
Right.
Yes. So are we able to see,
yeah.
so we can kind of
oh, yeah.
get an estimate. So what did
yes.
it increase or decrease year to year?
Last year, and WB is here, and they're probably better equipped to speak to this, but I believe last year was relatively flat. So I believe there was maybe a 1% increase to the working rates. And the year before, I want to say, is when you moved to WB and there was a reduction from where you were at the trust. So it was a lower cost, then you went roughly flat, don't hold me to it, and now this year is a little bit more of an increase.
Okay. And do we know the trust, can we look at it? Is it comparable to even look at it from another community?
The trust, it would be hard to say if you weren't with the trust, it would be hard to say what your pricing would have been and how it would have increased. The only thing I guess you could really look at is the overall performance of the health pool in the trust, which is in their financial statements. And I mean, that's performed, I think there's been losses for the last couple of years in the health pool in the trust.
There's been losses in the health pool and trust the last couple of years, and how has WB fared over that time?
So WB, every community is on its own, to Councilman Lattisaw's point. Everyone kind of eats what they kill. It's your fund balance. It's not a pooled fund balance. So there is no performance, if you will, of WB because every community owns their own account.
So again, from Warwick being in with WB the last 2 years, the first year there was savings when we switched. I believe we went from the trust to WB.
That's right.
And then last year was
relatively flat. Richard, Allen, if you guys have information.
We can have WB. Excuse me, sir. We'll have WB come to the mic.
Sure.
Or if you need a question answered now, Councilman, they can come to the mic now. Okay.
Yeah. No.
You want them to come to the mic now?
Yes.
Okay, please. To the mic, please.
Unless
thank you.
The other council have questions for that.
Alan Lord, Alan Lord, Executive Director of WB Community Health. I also have Rich Krupski, who is going to be replacing me as of July 1st. I will be staying on and helping out with the transition. But as far as the increases, I believe 3 years ago we were at 4.5. Last year the bid was for 2.0, and this year it's 5.49.
It's what, please?
5.49. And I'm not sure.
When do you set the rates? So I know I understand that, you know, it's going to be after the 30 days or 60 days by the time we find out the final. When do those rates get set?
Right. Well, with a bid, it's a little different with the City of Warwick, but with the remainder of the members in WB, I'm working on their rates all the way up through April based on the most current claims experience. And that's how I did the Warwick bid, was when I submitted that at the bid deadline, it was through, I believe, the first week in March. So at that time, the claims were up about 6.1%. The trend that Blue Cross had given for the next year was 6%. We came in at 5.49 based on some savings we saw in a new RX rebate program that we were receiving. So, it's a work in progress. And what we try to do is with each member, we'll work. If we see claims running a little higher, then we'll hold off as long as we can. And really, the final rate doesn't have to be determined until the end of May. But that is in a non-bid situation.
Yes, they're staying with you, right? If it's the equivalent, if a community is staying with you, that's how you would.
Right. I would look at it if it was in a bid situation. And just to give you an idea, we talked about the IBNR earlier, and I looked at Mork's claims this week and updated everything. And you're looking at a monthly average, the range is between $1.9 million a month in claims and $1.2 million. So as Rob said, trying to pin down what those claims are going to be for the month of May, June, and then the three-month runout is difficult. I'm conservative, so I'm going to estimate a little bit on the high side because I don't want anybody to finish in a deficit position.
And what other communities do you work with?
We have a total of 17. We have Cranston School Department. I think you referred to them earlier. We have Coventry Schools, Narragansett Schools, quite a few school departments. We also have the town of Westerly, both town and school. We have the town of Scituate and school department there. To give you an idea, most of them are mid-sized in the state. Warwick and Cranston Schools are our two largest.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman, any other questions? Sir, anything else that, seeing as you're up there, anything else that you would like to put on the record for the committee, the council, and for members of the public as to your bid, what it does, what it doesn't do, what it contains, its advantages, disadvantages, et cetera, et cetera. You have the podium.
Sure.
It's your time.
I think if you look at the two bids, and we're both using Blue Cross, and as Rob mentioned earlier, the claims make up 90%, over 90% of the premium. and pretty much we have the same provider discount. It really boils down to they have a different prescription plan. I don't think the difference in savings is all attributed to the RX rebate program that they have. So I just think that it may be a first-year teaser rate to get you in, but then you're locked in for 3 years. And that penalty, as was mentioned before, Rob said $1.2 million you had to pay to get out. The last time you were in WB, when you left, I think it was 2013, you actually got money back.
How much?
I believe it was over $200,000 at the time.
That was in 2013?
So you got
that was in 2013?
In 2013, yes.
Okay, hold on 1 minute before you move on. You said our 90% of our premium is predicated to claims.
Correct.
So is it safe to assume that the admin fee that we pay is 10%? Or is it something else with something else?
No, it's a combination of Blue Cross admin fee. That's around, I believe, two claims.
Hold on, go slow, because I'm going to write these numbers down.
Okay.
So whoever's here for the trust, take note of the questions, because I'm going to want the same answers.
Our admin rate from Blue Cross is $43.50.
$43.50.
Right. Okay. And that rate represents about 2.8%.
Per?
Per employee per month.
Okay, it's 2 point
And that's a big difference whether it's member or employee. 2.8% of the total premium, approximately.
Okay, so admin fee is $43.50 per enrollee for approximately 2.8%. Go ahead.
And then stop loss accounts for about 2.8% per employee per month.
Okay.
And the WB admin rate is $1 per employee per month. I think it works out to about 0.1% of the total premium.
It's how much dollars and cents?
It's $1 per employee per month.
Okay, $1 per employee, and you think that works out to 0.5%?
About 0.1%.
I'm sorry, 0.1%.
Yes.
So right now, I'm below 6%. Where's the other 4%?
The claims, actually, when I did the calculation, was 94% on the claims.
So right now we're at 94%, not 90.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think Rob was using a ballpark. I did it based on where you are as of April 30th.
No, but I think you just made the statement that where our claims represent 90% of our premium. I think you
did. It's an estimate, but 94% is how you're tracking in the current fiscal year.
Now, I want to hear what your position is. So now it's 94%. Okay.
Right.
So we have 94%. Right now, as this moving target is moving, we're at 94% of our premium is for claims. We have about 2.8 for admin. We have 2.8 for stop loss and 0.1% for WB's administration.
Correct.
So, I've been down this road with this healthcare stuff in another life for a long time. So tell me, why are you, WB, or the trust, why are they at whatever percentage they are? And in this case, your admin fee is 0.1%. Blue Cross's admin fee is 2.8%. The stop loss, I'm cool, I get it, I understand what it's for. Why is there such a significant difference between what your admin fees are and Blue Cross?
Well, Blue Cross has, obviously, based on their admin costs, has a higher overhead. We run a very lean shop at WB, and every expenditure is closely monitored to make sure that I'll be honest with you. I go to Staples. I use coupons for printer ink, those type of things. I wait till the sales come on. I mean, just to give you an idea, it's a very low budget as far as trying to keep the operating costs down, and that's what the board members want.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
I think that's pretty much it. The three-year average as far as rate increases is just over 4%. I think if you look at the trends during that time, you're probably talking about 6%. So there is a considerable difference. You know, obviously, your claims have been favorable over the 3 years, and I just hope that the council looks at us as the lowest responsible bid. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members? Sir, Councilman Qualley.
I have a question concerning the prescription coverage. I know we have different categories of employees in the city that have different prescription coverage. And in the materials I have, it says that the annualized medical, pharmacy, and dental spent for a city worker was $18,321, and for a worker in the schools, it was $16,275. How much are we paying for prescription coverage for city workers?
I believe, and this is prior to any rebates, the last numbers were the prescription costs were around $4 million out of a base expenditure of 19.4 of all the claims, which would include hospital, surgical, and office visits.
$4 million out of what?
Out of $19,400,000.
Okay, so roughly 20% of the total cost, correct?
Correct.
And
that's just a snapshot of one month in time.
Okay. And what about on the school employees? What is the prescription cost for the school employees?
I do not have those numbers with me, but I can certainly get them for you. And I don't even want to try to take a guess because that wouldn't be right.
No, I'm asking because I know that there are some of the city plans that have prescription cap coverages, and that is not part of the contract with the, at least with the teachers union. And what is the difference in cost between those two programs?
Well, I think what you have to look at is you have to break it down by the different subgroups. I think there's some retirees in there. There's some employees. So certainly we could do a claims analysis on that. I don't have that detail with me right now. But, you know, I would say that all enters into contract negotiations and plan design changes that are possible. But I know when I did look at it at one point in time, the percentage in certain subgroups, because again, it may be different with retirees than it is with employees.
I guess my question is it's over $2,000 more for medical coverage for a city employee than it is for a school employee.
Okay.
Why?
You have 28 different subgroups, you have 28 numbers. It's probably 24 or 25 subgroups. So we would have to look at each one of those. We can isolate by subgroup and give you a cost per employee. I think it all boils down to plan design, and you have to make sure you're comparing apples to apples. In other words, if the school department has one HealthMate program with a $1,000 deductible, and the city doesn't have that, they have no deductible, then there's going to be a difference. But without, certainly we can do that research and get back to you on that.
Well, those are my questions, and without having that research, it's hard to analyze and make a choice over which company is the better company to go with. So I guess my questions go unanswered, and I don't know how to put that into my analysis of which company is the better company to use.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay. Any other questions from
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. President.
You had indicated on the increase, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe Mr. Khaleesi would know this answer, but I don't recall joint bids in the past between the school department and the city. And I know a few years ago we had passed an ordinance, so we would go out to bid together. But you had mentioned a minute ago that you were anticipating a 5.49% increase in the cost of insurance for both the city and the schools. Is that correct?
No, they're independent.
Okay, and what's your indication as far as an increase in the school department side?
It's around 14%, 14.49, I believe.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, their claims are up this year, and they also have cut, I believe it's 36 positions. And so their claims are still up. You would expect that they would drop off in a corresponding fashion to the reduction in staff, and that hasn't happened. So whether that means that they were employees that had good health claims performance, that's the only thing that we can take out of that. And the fact that, it's just their claims have gone up more than what had been expected, more than the trend.
And what about on the city side? What are the claims? Is that the 5?
When I did the bid.
So I'm a little bit confused because you said 5.49% increase, and that's for schools and city. But now you're saying that schools are higher than city? How do we get to 5.49%?
5.49 is city specific.
So on our side, ours claims are going up 5.49%, but on the school department side, they're going up 14.9%.
Right, because they're two independent, you're treated as two independent entities.
Are the school department claims going up 21%?
Are they going up 21%? No.
Okay, because what was represented to us last week was that the claims on the school department side were going up 21% and they needed additional funds. It wasn't represented to us that their claims were going up 14.9%. So you're the person that gives the numbers. You're saying that that was inaccurate.
I did not give them a 21% number. No.
You never gave them a 20% number, 21%.
Pardon?
You never told them their claims were going up 21%.
No. Nope.
I have a question for Mr. Khaleesi. Mr. Khaleesi, the difference between self-insured and fully insured plans are really what we're debating here tonight as far as costs. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
The difference between a self-insured and a fully insured plan is that we have a little bit better control over cost savings and expenses than a fully insured plan?
Correct.
Or maybe you could explain that difference.
Well, I think from a self-insured basis, you have complete control over the cost of your plan as far as what you do within the city of Warwick to help control claim costs, how you go out to bid with certain vendors, whether it's an plan administrator like Blue Cross, if you go out to bid for pharmacy services that are currently through Prime Therapeutics with Blue Cross, if you go out to bid for stop loss insurance, you get to select from whoever decides to bid. On a fully insured arrangement, that's all of those decisions are made by the plan, whoever's offering the insurance coverage at that point, whether it's Blue Cross Direct, the Trust, United Healthcare, whoever the insurance company is, makes all of those decisions.
And your recommendation is to go with a self-insured plan. Why?
Because I think I've said a couple times, if you're going to measure this in 12-month increments and only look at 12-month increments, you're going to end up with the situation we have today where the trust puts a number on the table that looks attractive, but if we pay attention to 3 years at a time, you're always going to be ahead. I would say always. The confidence level's in the high 90 percentile that you're always going to beat out a fully insured arrangement with a group of individuals the size that Warwick is. It's the law of large numbers, Councilman Arola.
It's statistically
correct.
We're such a large group that we should, at 90% confidence, we should come in better than a fully insured plan.
That's right.
You had mentioned to me at one point that the figure of a $10 million cost with the trust when we were there before, was that in claims, part of your analysis with regard to claims?
A $10 million cost?
Yeah, there was a $10 million difference or cost that you had calculated that was greater than what you anticipated when we had been with the trust before.
Unfortunately, I apologize. I just don't recall that
okay.
number, Councilman.
Okay. So there wasn't penalties or calculations that included that amount of money?
No.
As you recall?
Correct.
Okay. So the last time I think you testified we were with the trust was how many years ago?
3 years, I believe.
And we left the trust and went to WB.
That's right.
And what was your recommendation at that time? Why go with WB and not the trust at that time?
For the very reasons that we're talking about it again tonight is the control, the net cost to the city over time would outweigh what you had been doing in that at that point in time with the trust.
So how is the trust coming in at, you know, they're calculating a figure here that they're going to be lower than WB for the first year. Is that in administrative costs or is that in claims?
I believe that there's several components that make up their rate-making process that they submitted as confidential in the bid. They've applied some credits to the rate-making policy that would offset claims expense. So if they developed claims of whatever, I'm just going to throw a number out there for an example, $15 million, but they also applied credits for certain characteristics in their rate making, and they're better suited to explain. But they have credits built in there other than for pharmacy rebates that are being applied as discounts to the claims. And then they also have credits for pharmacy manufacturer rebates that are, again, also a deduction from what they anticipated claims are. Pharmacy manufacturer rebates come in every time a member in the city of Warwick, of the member of the health plan, fills a brand name prescription drug. A rebate from the manufacturer of that pharmaceutical is passed through to the self-funded plan. So in this case, money would exchange hands into the trust, and the trust, I believe, pools all of the pharmacy rebates and equalizes that across the membership. I'm not sure of the exact calculation, but my understanding is it's an equalization of the pharmacy rebates across all the groups they cover.
So in essence, what they're saying is they're going to give us credits for the first year, but not give us credits in the second or third year?
Well, the pharmacy rebates would continue on, but the other credits, I don't believe, continue on. They're adjustments that are made.
Well, it doesn't indicate that they would continue on. How's
right.
that?
That's right.
So I think the way that you phrased it before is if they give us credits or coupons or whatever you want to call it to entice us to go in, those wouldn't be available in the second and third year. And at least it's my concern, that's how you make up for getting us in the first year, because we're really at that point at their mercy.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, the way that the trust is designed in the first 36 months, there's not a lot of risk to the trust because of the exit penalty. If they underestimate the claims, they're going to recoup a full month worth of premium, and hopefully they didn't underestimate by more than a month. So they're in a situation where they're potentially made whole because you exited within 36 months, and your claims experience, if it was poor and more than the exit penalty, then they're taking that risk. If your claims experience was favorable, they're still getting that exit penalty. In that case, they have a surplus.
So, and that's why you're recommending a one-year bid rather than a three, because you can go back out and test the waters again to see what
from a fully insured perspective, you're really not going to get anything more than 1 year at a time. Most insurance companies will not offer, some Blue Cross on occasion will offer a second year rate cap. It's not a guaranteed renewal. Your renewal will not exceed this number. But that's not a 3 year contract. That's a second year rate cap. And I don't believe the trust offered that. I'm not sure if they're in a position to offer it. They can speak to that. I can't.
Now, are you aware of this, that they're WB had stated to the school department that they would see a 14.9% increase?
Yes. That's in my report.
Okay. And are you aware that the school department told this council last week that they were going to see a 21% increase, not 14.9?
I'm not aware of that, no.
And are you aware that that amounted to over $1 million difference between what they represented to the council and what you're telling us today?
No.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Qualley.
Mr. Cleese, I'm reading the information you gave us on page 7, and in order to be a self-insured city, that you have to be able to impact our overall costs and get at the root cause of our utilization, better understand our risks and conditions of our population, and develop a medical management program and design programs to encourage behaviors that create the best outcomes. To me, that means we're trying to have our workers live a healthier lifestyle. But then, at the last sentence you have, says that it requires a sustained effort and consistent, meaningful reporting about what's happening with your population. And that is how you are able to affect change and ultimately the cost of the program. And the only way to do that, it would seem to me, would to be consistent with the company that we have that is going to developing these programs for us. But yet you say it's better to go forward on a year-to-year basis. It seems to be a conflict there.
No, I'm saying if you're looking at a fully insured arrangement, you're never going to get an insurance company to guarantee 3 years worth of rate adjustments, whether they're up or down. They just don't have the crystal ball that goes out 36 months. If you were to make a decision as a council to say, we're going to make a commitment to self-insuring for 36 months, then you can lock in your administrative expenses for the next 36 months, understand what they are, and focus all of your energy on how to improve the outcomes that you have in the city from workers that are using the health plan. Teach them to be better consumers of health care, how to access the system, which ultimately drives your claims expense, which is, I stand corrected, 94% of your expense. We seem to spend a lot of time focusing on the 6%, and we don't spend any time focusing on the 94%.
And how is it that the health care plan that we decide to go with achieves the goals that you're speaking of?
Honestly, I don't think it's on either the trust or WB. Warwick needs to take action. Warwick needs to demand data from Blue Cross or have systems in place to be able to review claims and develop programs with whether it's WB, the trust, Blue Cross, or third-party vendors to help educate the employees to make better decisions on which healthcare systems to use, what providers have better outcomes at certain procedures. These are things that are going on and have been going on in the commercial market for 10-plus years.